Hi Sherry, hi Sarah, hi Luke, how Craig? Good to have you here.
Hi everyone.
Hi everyone.
Good to be here. Hi everyone.
We have been missing so sorely getting together with everybody at the end of every day at the old Las Vegas, although it was more fun in person. Maybe next year.
Hopefully.
That we started this. So we did one this morning and this is the second one. So what are the thoughts on the second round of Success Connect?
I think, well, the keynotes were pretty much the same. I think the Q&A was probably the biggest difference in the customer stories. I know Craig and Luke, you stayed on for the full Q&A and you had some interesting comments about what was the conversation like in the States versus Europe.
Well, the customers are pretty interested in how the newer products, Opportunity Marketplace, is and other things, dynamic teams and stuff. How will they be included in the packages that customers already have? And I believe for Opportunity Marketplace, it was something that is just they see it as kind of a foundational piece. And so I wasn't quite clear on if it was going to be an extra license or not, or a subscription. But I'd have to go back and watch again. It's kind of hard to figure out.
One thing I did hear was that it's not a whole package. So I think you still need to have the mentoring, the learning management system, you need to have the components, right, to support it. And then this lays on top of those components?
I think that's how it is designed right now. You still have all the different pieces because the different pieces are still bought by other customers in a separate configuration. And then if you actually want to add the Opportunity Marketplace on top, it's sort of... think of an octopus having a leg in each of the piece. And bring up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's really true because, like you say, it's kind of difficult to understand where their new license is needed and where not. It's also in the time management, you know, with the new time tracking, that was also one of the questions. Is it a new license? Is it not? Because a time off and time sheets aren't, but time tracking is. And so it's kind of confusing.
You know, it's also true that as things get developed, they take a bigger size and they take a bigger importance and relevancy. And at that point, it becomes important to have a separate piece that a customer may include or not, depending what they need. So.
Yeah, very true.
I thought something interesting. They talked about the center of capabilities. I guess that's going to be kind of a unified sort of framework for all the different modules. And that's how everything's going to be connected in some way. And that was what they're building Opportunity Marketplace out of.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it'll get away from that whole, the inevitable debate that we always had as to, you know, how do you structure your job architecture and are there requirements on jobs?
Job families? Do you remember that one?
Yes.
You cannot get away from that discussion because at the end of the story, even when we did performance, we never got away from the discussion how a customer structure their performance because there are a number of business decisions behind that and not everybody's doing it in the same way. Mm-hmm. Structuring the job architecture, I've seen in at least a couple of large customers where I was inside and part of the debate. And it's not a minor activity. There is a lot. One thing is the technology that is there to facilitate capturing it. But another big part is the actual strategic discussion and decisions that are at the backbone of it. And that is not something that the technology can suggest. The technology can only take act of it and represent it at the end.
But if you look at it, it's the measuring system from hiring to firing. And, you know, we know there's always an issue with measuring, whether it be the U.S. with their inches and Europe with their centimeters and everything like that. Everybody's going to have different concepts of how to measure it, you know, but it's trying to find how do we interpret it across the countries.
Right. That's a big one.
Well, there is on one side, I remember the discussions I had on some occasion, and on one side, the global architecture is already a challenge. But then you can look at the job architecture from many different point of view. You can look at it from the point of view of the compensation and how you structure the compensation. You can look at it from the point of view of the succession and job architecture and the hierarchy that structure the career progression. And you can structure it from the point of view of the career development of the person. Now, what we're looking at in the job opportunity is more from the point of view of the career development of the person, because it's in the hands of the person.
Right.
But the roles must be there in the background.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, do you have to have that a nice job architecture built out first as a prerequisite? Luke, do you know?
I don't know, but I suspect that is something that will be part of the project. Because every time I've seen these developments, you know,
well, that'll hold up deployment.
Well, not more and not less than when you go in and talk about goals and skills. If there is not a definition of goals and skills, you don't go anywhere, because people need to sit down and think about how they want to do it. If people don't know how workflows need to work, well, you can sit there and spend 6 months debating that. I've done that.
Luke, you were going to say something before, I think. I saw your mouth move.
Yeah, I don't recall exactly what it was, but it was probably something related to job architecture.
Yeah.
Because it's customers love job architecture. But the center of capabilities, I think, is an important component. So I'm glad it was covered today. I think there'll be more on that coming up. I have a writing assignment to write about center of competencies that is, I was checking today's due on Friday, which is in 2 days. I'll have it done by next week, but I'll hopefully uncover some useful information, some roadmap and bits and pieces on
good.
That.
Share it
for everybody.
Well, look, we always know end of day Friday means Monday morning.
Right? Well, true, right. And then you got to take into account the time zone difference.
True. So I will wait for your input. Maybe next time we'll need to. Maybe next week we need to interview you, Luke.
Maybe my following article is on Opportunity Marketplace. So I'm really hitting up all the top all the hot topics.
Are these on Tech Target? Is that what you're talking about?
They will be. Yeah.
What's Insider doing to cover those, Craig?
I'll be writing about the same stuff.
Much more succinctly than my good self.
With less editing. Definitely want to be covering Opportunity Marketplace. There's a lot of questions around that. But I attended a lot of sessions on customers moving to the cloud, because I found it pretty interesting that it's what we already knew, but you know, there's still more than 10,000 people that are customers that are on ERP HCM on premise. So there's a lot of room for people to move to the cloud. And I found it pretty interesting. Erman and Todd Acevedo, they talked about the only real place for innovation left on premise is a payroll control center. Everything else is happening in SuccessFactors now. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, they're kind of driving that way. I'm so curious, you know, we haven't heard as much about that whole that sidecar thing from what was that, 3 years ago now, to enable customers, if they wanted to stay on premise just a few extra years beyond the end of mainstream maintenance for on-premise HCM. I know that was not supposed to come out till 2023. So I'm curious if that's still something that's in the works. And because if you're sitting there, look at 10,000 customers that are still on-premise, that's a lot of work to be done.
They also have to think about their whole ERP platform and yep. how are they going to juggle all that? It came up this morning.
Yeah, it did. I know Sven brought it up because he's watched the whole of the coverage and didn't see anything about it. It's HR for S/4HANA now, and it's coming out next year. Okay. There are some migration tools available for that because really it's, I guess fundamentally, it's a technical migration from basically an instance of HCM that you have on-premise to an instance of HCM that's in S/4HANA on-premise.
Yeah.
You're not really doing an implementation or anything because it's not really a new HCM offering. It's just a technical
option. No design, right.
But you do have the issue that you're going from a cluster or a database that you can cluster to the HANA database, which is clear tables, which, you know, for payroll and time management, you have to decluster all of that. And that's where I think a lot of the customers are a bit worried, is that they're having to decluster all of that, and which means that they've got to look at all of the reports and everything that they've done to see that that continues to work. And there's a lot of insecurity in the market looking at some of that stuff.
Yeah, you've raised an important point, Sarah. I hadn't thought about the clustering of the info types. Yeah.
Well, it's only the payroll and time management for the results, because all of the other tables are all clear, you know, tables right. that are stored. It's only payroll and time management that have been historically clustered to save space. And with the HANA database, you know, that was always, you know, the speed, it's because it's declustered.
Right.
And so it's a totally different structure now for payroll and time management. Moving forward,
I'm sure that worries a lot of the customers.
Yeah, it does.
I think there is also the fact that there are so many different options, 3 or 4.
Yes.
It's almost a spectrum. Yeah, well, 1, 3, 4, 5. And it's almost a spectrum. You can go full, and then we still have the next gen payroll that is coming up at some point on at one end, and the sidecar, for lack of a better understanding, on the other side of the spectrum. And in between, there are a number of other options. And where exactly each customer fall as an ideal solution, at the end, there is nobody that can tell them in a 15 minutes webinar where you should go.
Because one size, it's individual.
Yeah. And the challenge, I think, will be is essentially it's an S/4HANA only solution.
Right.
And mm-hmm. the people that sell HR and sell S/4HANA at SAP are two different teams, right? So inevitably... Right. It's going to end up, it shouldn't be positioned for customers that don't have HCM on-premise today, right? It shouldn't be.
Correct.
SuccessFactors is the go-to solution for that.
It's kind of a Band-Aid to help you get to S/4HANA and then do something with HCM later.
But I have heard of some confusing positioning within SAP. And, you know, there's...
Shocking.
Wow, who would have guessed it? But I... So just to finish off my thought quickly, there's going to be positions where someone selling S/4 is going to position the H4 for S/4 offering when it really should be SuccessFactors being positioned.
Right.
But
and they'll again, do that because the person doesn't want to go to cloud. The company doesn't want to go to cloud.
Exactly. I'm going to say, you know, with some of the public sector that say we can't go to cloud. Yes, you can have private clouds, but, you know, is that someplace where you would then look at S/4HANA? Yeah.
And there are also some of the very large customers who have extreme customization. Some large customers went, I don't want to say plain vanilla, but were willing to do a transformation and have been discussing how far they should go. And the simplification has brought great results. And I'm not going to bring in examples because I'm not qualified to do so. But you all know who I worked for, so you know.
Yeah.
But there are large customers, and I've seen them in many different, in several different regions, who have actually taken the road to change everything they could possibly change, design the gazillion objects, and added here and there and everywhere, and reducing all that takes an extensive effort. So in the discussion, they come up and say, well, if we cannot do that, and if we cannot keep all this, then we'll actually go and buy a competitor and do something that is just as extensive.
Yeah, that's the risk.
Exactly.
Yeah, because a lot of times then they have to renegotiate it if they have to change it. And that's where the, you know, the complexity comes in. But we also had that, you know, when we went from R2 to R3. You know, because they'd modified the system so much, we saw a lot of companies that took 5 years even after R3 came in and even took the higher rates because they said, we can't touch this monster, this beast, to get it moved over.
I don't have the last numbers. I know that up to 10 years ago, we still had customers on R2 in Germany.
Wow.
Now it was not supported anymore, but because it was mainframe, it was on their machines and they actually kept it up on their own way. And occasionally there was someone who would go down and help them to reconnect the assembler bits where needed. I don't know if that disappeared in the last 10 years or if they still exist. They were not huge customers. We're not talking BMW. We're talking small pieces and small customers that actually had some of the earliest version, and they were still there. You know,
how to get rich quick. Be an R2 support specialist.
You think you're joking, but we know
how many there are. Yeah,
I can't imagine there's that many around.
There definitely were a few, but. That was also a lot of those older customers where at that point they didn't have that many consultants that really knew what they were doing, and they programmed a lot of things that could have been done differently, and they then became dependent on those developments. To try and re-engineer it or reverse it would have been extremely difficult.
Listen, that was only, we customized only because we couldn't understand all the help, which was written in German.
Well, you should have called me. We would have helped you.
Well, there was a time where all the help you would get from the PF1 was, if English writing is not quite your cup of tea, and I'm actually quoting, and then it was going through a half page of blah, 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 that was not helping at all. It was just telling you, go somewhere and try to figure it out.
Well, we've come a long way, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was, we now have Insider and Tech Target, Luke's book.
Tech Target has so much advertisement on each page. It's painful. Sorry.
I make money somehow.
I know, but it's framed in a way that it's like, okay, stop popping up and down.
I don't care. I'll take it free, especially if it's loot stuff.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, we'll read it anyway.
What else did you hear this afternoon, Craig? I think you were probably monitoring USA, North America.
Yeah. On another point, we were talking about payroll earlier. I know we've heard for a few years about the new payroll that's coming at some point, but I thought it was an interesting thing that, again, going back to Todd Acevedo's session, he said that basically expect ECP, Employee Central Payroll, to be the primary payroll system for, he said, a number of years. So
yeah.
I'm guessing any customers that would be maybe hesitant to move to ECP because they think that there's something else coming. It sounds like that next gen payroll is still a ways off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's piloting in certain countries and, you know, they want to get it right.
Well, have to
Can't screw up payroll. Yeah,
that's one thing you definitely not
mess up. It's the ultimate system of engagement.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's very well put. Thank you.
Employee experience right there. If your paycheck's wrong, that's a bad experience. Well,
if you get it wrong to the advantage of the employee, okay, yes, but yeah. Typically it's the opposite way around, and then you
they're probably gonna have to give that money back then, and then that's gonna be
that's if they try in many countries, if you actually give them the money, getting the money back is borderline illegal, if not fully legal. So you know, and in some countries you can try, not sure you can succeed
in some countries, and in California and Texas you can try and probably not succeed.
Well, in Germany, if they give you they pay you too much and you won't pay it back very quickly, then you have to charge interest or at least pay taxes on the interest as a company because the employee has a benefit.
Oof.
Wow, yeah.
So get your payroll right.
That's what I always say. Sometimes they listen. Yeah,
that makes sense. Never thought about that.
Anybody hear anything more about talent, like, you know, continuous performance improvement or anything like that? The recruiting, that stuff seems to have been quiet this year.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go back on demand to check out more of that because I was following, you know, the move to the cloud stuff. Yeah, and the live sessions. So I'm hoping to go back and see, because I'm also interested to see what's going on with onboarding 2.0, how customers are. If they're adopting that, if they're having trouble with the move or anything. So that's something I'm definitely curious about.
Yeah, same.
I'm definitely seeing a lot of adoption of onboarding 2.0 at the moment, in the US at least, and Latin America as well, of course. Yeah, but I'd be interested to see what they mention here. I'm also going to go and watch a lot of the sessions back on demand. I think I saw today it's 6 months on demand availability for all of the sessions.
And I think it's also good to compare the two different versions. They were similar, but I found that the US one was more complete because it had a few more materials to round up. It had a bit more time. So it was interesting to see the difference.
And well, Sherry, I know you and I, we used to work together, spent a lot of time building some content around that, trying to figure out the difference between the two, you know.
The two sessions. What was the, and you almost have to listen because they can use almost the same slide deck, but you get an entirely different track on things like payroll and time, especially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I would actually prefer to see it actually unified and put together. Because at the end of the story, instead of starting with Europe in the morning, they could start at lunchtime.
True. I don't know what Australia, would they hit Australia then?
It's a mess. It was a mess. Most of APJ anyway had to be up really late to follow.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't work for them anyway.
So it didn't work for them anyway. Maybe working out in a way of having one unique one, but hey, I would say it's above my pay grade, but I'm willing to help anytime they ask me.
Yeah,
well, I was definitely up with the kids at like 3 a.m. and looked at Twitter and saw Chris Payne tweeting away. So yep. I know he was active. Engaged with it at least.
Yeah, I followed a lot of his tweets earlier today.
Yeah, it has been interesting. But you see, Mark Hovercroft, who's in Australia, I believe, he was not on for the morning one, but he was on for the afternoon because for him it was early morning. Mm-hmm. So at the end, maybe there is not a perfect timing, but having a unified one would actually help everybody to be on board with the same communication rather than trying to.
Yeah.
Well, on the other hand, there's the focus on. There's a lot of American-oriented themes in the America's Success Connect, of course, which don't really apply to Europe, as we know. Things like the Great Resignation, right? That's really from our podcast with Stacey in the week. That's really a U.S. phenomenon. It's not really occurring in Europe. So I think there has to be a bit of a divergence because you're touching on different trends and talking about different topics to different audiences. And where the technology can support HR in different ways.
And I do like those different perspectives.
And in some cases, we do have totally different perspectives on some things. Like when I look at time management, I see the philosophy in the US is so completely different from Europe. And, you know, they think it's all the same. And I'm going, no, it's completely and totally different. And, you know, I grew up in the States. I started my HR career in the States, but I've been living in Europe for the last 35 years. So I can tell you, yes, it is different, you know. And sometimes they say, oh, no, we're all the same. And going, no. And so the people over in Europe know that there's differences and they want to hear the difference and understand it.
I feel like that's what we're missing from Asia Pac region, that things are certainly different down there too.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't get to hear that enough.
You know, I think to some extent it would be important to actually acknowledge those differences also in a global environment and not just in Europe, because there are many global corporations in the US that still need to deal with the difference within their environment. But then you start a project. Some time ago, I had to deal with a project that was an Italian corporation that had acquired a U.S. part. The project was led from the U.S., and that's nothing you have heard of. You have heard possibly the company, but it's not a major corporation. And it was led from the U.S., and the problem was the part of in the U.S. didn't want to hear all these differences because they were assuming everything is the same.
Right.
But the mother headquartered in Italy had the need to all those differences. And that led to never-ending debate of we need this. No, that's not important. We need this. No, that's not important. Yes, it is important. And at some point you go and feel like smacking the two heads together. Pardon me. Please. And if we could expose it a little bit more, if people want to tune out of that, but that's also, I think, an education of us as consultants, us as HR tech, us as HR strategists, to understand that, yes, these are all pieces that should come together because there are very few only local companies nowadays.
Yeah,
very true.
So I do wonder, I think it makes sense to have maybe to have separate one, but how did we deal with that when we had Las Vegas? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I do remember that some folks from Australia went over.
Berlin.
Yeah,
Las Vegas and a Berlin or London or whatever, but even then you don't have the APJ. They have their own big HR conference that they focus on. Once per year. That's kind of like their version of Success Connect, HR Connect, I think it's called.
It may have been HR Connect, and SAP Now is some kind of a more further localized version to give really the flavor of the location, not only HR but further out. But we need to socialize better the global side.
I actually wrote a story a few months ago with Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. And what was really interesting about them is they implemented success factors worldwide through all of their layers and countries and everything. And, you know, instead of having those debates, basically there was a US-based group, their shared services group, that just said, these are the rules, and this is how we're going to implement this. And there'll be certain localizations. But so they kind of, and they did a, you know, this was pre-pandemic, they did kind of a world tour going, spending a couple weeks with each major group and letting them know, like, this is why we're doing this, and this is what you have to do, and you have to come along with us. And they made, there was certain place, you know, in certain countries, they had to do certain things, but for the most part, they were able to kind of implement a standardized system worldwide, because they had that, they kind of eliminated those debates. They just said, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to, this is how it's going to be done. And we want it to be standardized as possible to eliminate all those current headaches that we have of, you know, especially when it came with people trying to move through the company and move through different countries. It'd be really hard for them. There would be different standards for their employment practices in different places, mm-hmm. because their systems were different, right? So right. They just want to make that the same across the board.
You can certainly do a large amount of standardization. I remember starting the first ever global project, and that was Exxon in 93 or 94. Obviously, it was not success factors, but the concept, what we went in with, they actually got in the 15 most diverse countries in the world. That was part of their blueprint. And we actually established that there were three options. You had the items that people had to adopt, no question asked. Mm-hmm. There were the pieces that they could use if it was a requirement locally, but they could mm-hmm. adapt and change, but it had to be stored in that specific info type or spots or field if they decided to store and to use them. And then there were items that, well, if you want to store how many cars a person have, good luck and Godspeed, you can store it in the system if you want to design something, or you can store it outside of the system. And with that kind of definition, you can actually do something that is very standardized. To some extent, that evolved eventually in the approach of many consultancy firms of bucket one, bucket two, bucket three. I think IBM adopted it because we had some IBMs in the kind of project and so on. But there is, it's still very difficult to impose everywhere exactly the same. Yes. And what you're saying, Craig, is a huge amount of change management. Now,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll volunteer to be part of the team that goes 2 weeks in every country, because
I'm yeah, that sounds like a great time. Yeah.
But in my experience, most of the time, the result of the team that goes 2 weeks or 3 weeks in every country are then put in a locked room that get eventually emptied out and throw out in the recycling paper. And there is a global project restarted from the head house saying, okay, this is how you do it.
Yeah. Totally agree. We've seen so many where, you know, just trying to harmonize the employee subgroups over all these countries.
And personnel areas and sub areas and Yeah.
And it's naming conventions, because you can't dictate in every country, because otherwise you can't do your local payrolls.
Right.
Because you have to have those groupings, you know, as much as you want to try and harmonize them across the world. If you can't get the groupings right, you can't do your payroll right, you know.
And you know what? And the beauty of it is that some of those tables are not time sensitive. So even after those group disappears, you cannot get rid of them. They stay there forever.
But they did change those. I think it was like 20 years down the line. They announced it at the HR Global User Group, and I stood up and started cheering, and everybody looked at me. I said, I've been waiting for this for 20 years to have these time sensitive.
then you have to go and explain to a number of people, very change management adverse, that you can actually do it now and there is no risk. Anyway, I think we're diverging from the topic of the whole thing.
We're way off today's Success Connect story, just so listeners know, this was not discussed.
Well, I can always cut out the last piece and say, okay, you know what, we were tired and we cut it out, and I can leave, we can take a 1.5 second break and I can glue the goodbyes and say, okay, you know what, we'll skip the memory lane. Okay, gentlemen, ladies, I think we're at the end, unless we'd want to add something. Is there something we didn't touch on? We mentioned the payroll. We mentioned, of course, the opportunity marketplace, next gen.
Dynamic teams.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Oh, a lot and, coming. So
and we mentioned the blog coming up from Luke.
Yep, and I'll have some blogs and also be pushing a survey out on HR tech adoption into the field this week.
Nice.
So that'll be my next study that'll be publishing at the end of November. So
and hopefully using Qualtrics. Good tool.
It has been lovely talking to all of you and having a glass of wine and relaxing. And I think I will shorten out this one a little bit, but you'll forgive me.
Thanks for bringing us all together, Kiara. Thanks for thank you, good to Kiara. See you again, Craig. Stranger.
Yeah, good to see you too. Right.
Well, till next time. Maybe we'll have to do something halfway through the year to avoid having to go all the way till next Success Connect. Although. Maybe we'll be in Vegas again. I never thought I would hope to go to Vegas again.
No.
Well, we are still not giving up hope that in April we will meet in St. Leon Road again for the SAP.
That sounds good.
But you know, Sarah, you may have to write to someone to get me on that one because I'm not getting any.
I will start kicking a few people, okay? Yeah.
Well, I've put it out there for to the SAP to do is I have an HCM event in March in Vegas to try to get them to do a PR and AR program for it so they can bring all my friends so I can see all my friends.
Yeah. But then you need to ask for me specifically because otherwise they will not give me permission.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
In March, I'll be in California, but they choose not to know.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. I got to dash to another meeting.
Well, stay safe. Bye. Lovely seeing everybody.
Great talking to you.
Catch up, guys. Take care.
Bye.